Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny.
Do you remember when we met? That's the day I knew you were my pet. I want to tell you how much I love you.
How did you meet the person you love? Your partner, your spouse, your mate. How did your story begin? Did you feel the way the poet Theodor Röttgen must have felt when he wrote, "I met her as a blossom on a stem"? Did your connection have the feeling of an instant fit? Or was it the other way around, an innocuous or even an annoying beginning that only blossomed in time? On this Valentine's Day Tuesday morning, we're going to explore love's beginnings, and we want to hear from you. Tell us how you met. What you noticed on that first date, what you saw, what you felt. Was it blossom meets stem or something else again? You can join us now by calling and telling us your story at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. And joining us for our conversation about love's beginning is Lonnie Barbach. She is the co-founder of the Happy Couple app and a clinical psychologist. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Why is that first beginning? Why does it matter? What is its significance
in
how stories evolve?
It's your story. Every couple has their own unique story. When I talk to couples, you know, a lot about their beginnings, follow them through. So there was one couple where she was at a black tie event and with a guy that she was going out with. And after it was over, she got a call from this other guy that said, "I saw you there. You were looking at me." She said, "I wasn't looking at anybody." This guy called her for a year and a half regularly. You know, she thought he was arrogant. She made fun of him. She told all of her friends, "This, you know, really arrogant guy keeps calling me." And then she broke up with a guy that she'd been seeing. And this guy, still calling, called her up. She decided to go out with him, made a date. She was depressed. She didn't put anything into it. She was down in the basement of her house cleaning up and doing things. And he walks up and he looks at her and says, "You were the person I've been tracking for a year and a half," because she looked like a mess. And she looked at him. And he looked adorable and was well-dressed and said, "You're the person I've been avoiding for a year and a half." They went out. They got married 3 months later.
Huh.
And she had to tell all of her friends that.
And it sounds like you're also suggesting, beyond that sort of moment of magic, if that's what mm-hmm. happens, you think that there's something that happens that winds up being a kind of icon for who they are, an emblematic of the kind of couple they'll become?
Well, I think it's their story. I'm not sure it's emblematic of it, because this couple wouldn't go back and say, I'm making fun of my husband all the time. You know, she wouldn't be doing that. I think when I met David, I knew him 15 years. We've been together 32 years now. And I knew him 15 years. And we were friends of some friends. And I fixed him up with my best friend because I really liked him, but not for me. And I would counsel both of them and how they could get together. And my friend said to me, "You ought to be with David, not me." I said, no, he's not my type. He's not my type. They split up. And then we found ourselves at a conference one time, both giving lectures. And one thing led to another. And we've been together ever since. So sometimes you have ideas about somebody or, there was one person who married a minister. She said, "If I had been looking online, I never would have found this guy, because a minister would not have been in the profile I'd be looking for." So we sometimes find people that we don't expect. And that's the story.
Lonnie Barbach joining us, clinical psychologist, co-founder of the Happy Couple app, as we talk about those first meetings. What happens when they take place? Do they evolve very quickly? Or like in Lonnie's case, do they evolve over 15 years? We'd like to hear your story as well. Lots of people calling in with their stories. We're eager to hear from them. Let me read a couple that have already come in. Kathleen writes, "While many people meet at weddings, I met my husband at a funeral. I couldn't believe he was hitting on me, but we ended up going out soon after, and now we've been married for 22 years. The ironic part of this is that my father is a funeral director. It wasn't one of his funerals, though. That really would have been too much." Jan writes, "How we met was so traditional. It was dancing, but less traditional, it was Zydeco dancing." And Linda writes, I met my husband at an energy conservation conference in 1979. I was the only woman among 500 men. Well, that's a start. Anxious to find someone from a university, I went looking through the list of attendees. Aha, a Professor Swanson from San Jose State. I'd keep an eye open. At the luncheon buffet, this kind-faced, Swedish-looking man came up to me and said, "Professor Swanson, I've been looking for you." He replied in a nanosecond, "Well, I've been looking for you. 30 years of love," until he died in 2009. Let's take a first caller with their story of love this morning. Montana joins us from Los Altos. Montana, go ahead.
Hi. I met my husband 28 years ago at a Final Four tournament in Seattle. He was playing for the University of Michigan, and I was in the audience, and we ran into each other, and then 3 days later, they won the whole thing, and I walked up to him at a party and said, "Congratulations," and he picked me up, swung me around, and said, "What are you doing tonight?" Well, I was engaged to someone else, but he was not with me that night, and I said, I looked at him in his eyes, and I thought, he needs to be with someone, so I said, "I'll go find a girlfriend, you get a friend, and I'll meet you in the lobby, and we'll all go out." And he showed up shorthanded, and so did I. I could not find any of my friends in this huge ballroom. And we wound up going out, and then it just led from one thing to another, and we've been married 25 years.
So basketball was central to your meeting. Were you a basketball fan? Is that why you were at the Final Four, or were you just sort of there by happenstance?
I was there by happenstance. A girlfriend was a reporter from L.A., and she called me up that day and said, "I have tickets. Do you want to go?" And we ran over and watched an open practice, and that's my first meeting with him. And it happened that one of the freshmen on his team asked me if I wanted his autograph. And I was laughing to myself, thinking, "Oh, this poor kid. Yes, I'll take your autograph." Well, then Michael walked over and started talking to me. And I wasn't thinking anything about him at all, just, you know, what a nice young man. And my friend's like, "Do you know who that was?" And I'm like, "No." You know, and she's like, "Oh, he starts for Michigan. He's a starter." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever."
Well, if you weren't a basketball fan before, I suspect you are now. Montana,
I am now, yes.
Thanks so much for calling and telling us the story of your first beginning.
And you can hear the magic in her voice. You know, there's just that magic of how your relationship starts and the story you have.
Let's hear another caller. Ken joins us from San Jose. Ken, go ahead.
Hi. I had 3 months left to go in the Air Force. I was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. On February the 6th, they brought a new person in to be my boss. She was drop-dead gorgeous. I didn't like her attitude. We didn't quite get along for about the first week. And then Valentine's Day, which was the next week, I asked her out. We went out. I had four other girlfriends at the time who weren't real happy I was going out with her. Durals was playing at the club where we were working at, and he actually hit on her, and I said, "Well, I can't have that." So long story short, 2 months later, we got married. So from met in February 6th to May 22nd, getting married, my friends were surprised, and 46 years later, we're still married.
Oh, my goodness. And Ken, what was it? I mean, it sounds like it wasn't love at first sight. So what was transformative that happened?
I think it's because she actually didn't care, you know, if I didn't like her or not. And I said, "Well, wait, hold on. I'm the most likable person I know. You can't possibly not be in love with me." And so we, and my friends, you know, we just come back from Vietnam. My friend said, "Oh, my goodness, you can't possibly be dating the same woman two times in a row." Well, it became 46 years is what it was.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for sharing that story.
And sometimes that hard to get feeling for a lot of guys, it's a competition and they get very interested and turned on by a woman who's not falling all over them.
Yeah,
gives them some space.
And the wonderful writer Ann Patchett has a collection of essays called "This Is the Story of a Happy Marriage," and in one of them, she relates the story of her own eventual marriage, but it began by when she said to her future husband, "Listen, I'm the only person who doesn't want to marry you." But that in time, you know, that transfers. You hear that a lot, that there is this kind of switch that happens?
Well, you know, when there's a lot of dislike of someone, there is energy there. And what is that energy based on? And sometimes that energy can be turned around and it is just as intensely loving once you get to understand the person and see below whatever that shell is.
Let's read another story. This one comes in from Patricia. If you're talking about love, you need to know that I have fallen in love with California. When I first moved here, my boyfriend from Maine tried to make me share his East Coast prejudices. No culture, no history, no baseball, everyone's soft, etc. Which I did out of loyalty. But then I got to bike and hike and the veil fell off. I have never seen so much natural beauty in one place. In one 25-mile bike ride, you can see mountains, valleys, a river with sequoias, the beautiful Pacific. Other places have one landscape. California has them all. I am definitely in love.
And that is a good description of finding a person that you love. It's more than one thing. You know, you're finding different aspects. And the idea is over your relationship is to keep discovering more and more things so that the relationship doesn't get stale.
So that you need a kind of, just as a variety in a landscape appeals to us, you're suggesting variety in a relationship or in the partner who you're in a relationship with matters.
Absolutely. You have to keep discovering things about that person. Otherwise, the relationship goes stale. You know, we did happy couples so that people could actually find out things about each other that they didn't know.
Hmm. David in Oakland has our next story. David, go ahead.
Hey, so I met my wife in 2006 in San Francisco, but actually we met about 50 years earlier in the form of our fathers, who were fellows at UCLA together. They're both GIs. Her father came from India through Chicago and ended up in L.A., and my dad was raised in Chicago and ended up in L.A. They worked together for a couple years and then parted ways and didn't see each other for 30 years. They worked in the same town, had the same type of profession, and never really encountered each other. My wife and I grew up about 5 minutes apart. We never met. We had similar friends. We had similar haunts. She worked at a movie theater selling popcorn, where I always went to see movies, and we hung out at the same mall. We didn't meet again until we both moved up to San Francisco. I walked into a friend's game night, and there she was. It took us 6 more years, and now we're married and have 2 kids.
Great story, David. Thank you.
And most people actually, you know, even though we hear so much about online dating, the majority of people are still meeting their mates outside of the online dating. You know, about 80% are still meeting mates that way. And they're meeting people that they come into contact with in their daily life, you know, through church or the movie theater or somebody they see around town.
And David, let me just ask you one more. Oh, we lost David. I was curious about whether or not he noticed that popcorn moment was so powerful that he reconnected years later. Because sometimes you do notice things and you mm-hmm. and they stay with you. And it's important, I think, sometimes to be open to those moments, but also to act on them or certainly to remember them. Let's go next to Lawrence in San Francisco. Lawrence, you're on.
Hi, this is Lawrence, and our story is I met Caroline when she was taking guitar lessons from me, and I was announcing to all of my students that there's a recital, and she showed up to the recital to see another one of my students, and I noticed that she didn't want the experience to end after we were talking, after the recital, and that would happen in the lessons. Where she say, "Oh darn it!" at the end of the lesson, and then she came to the lesson later and asked me out, and we went to coffee. And I didn't think she was going to show up, and she showed up at Starbucks over on Fillmore, and the rest is history. I did send her a bill for guitar lessons. And she got really livid with me about that, so of course I withdrew the request for any money and. I got a relationship instead of a guitar student, so it's been wonderful. We've been married for 12 years.
Lawrence, thank you. Thanks for telling us that story and what can come from a guitar lesson, especially when you don't demand a collection on the invoice. Lawrence, thank you.
I was wondering if he would have asked her out.
Oh yeah, good question, Lawrence. Would you have done the asking if your partner hadn't asked you?
I think I was a little bit shy. I did have a crush on her, But I think it was a little shy because I had it in my mind that there was some sort of professional respect since I was a guitar teacher, which later people who were doctors were telling me was just silly. As a guitar teacher, you don't have to have that. But I took myself, I think, a little bit too seriously.
Okay. All right, Lawrence. Thank you. Thanks for sharing your story this morning on KQED. You know, Lonnie Barback, we're getting so many calls. Our phone lines are full. We're getting tons of emails. And it's interesting to me. Some of us talked, producers and I talked yesterday about our not being sure. We thought this was a great idea, but would we get lots of calls or would the airwaves be empty for our entire period, our entire program? And obviously it's the former and not the latter. What does that say to you? That there's not only that there are these wonderful stories, but that people want to tell them.
Absolutely. Because there are happy relationships. All of these people are telling you stories about their happy relationships, not so much about the things that didn't work out. And those are part of the history of what this relationship is about. It's a very important part of their story.
Listener writes in, not about their moment of meeting, but about their parents. My father just passed away this Sunday, our listener writes, but he and my mother had a real love story. They married late in life for their generation at age 36. My father was worried that there was something wrong with him because he had never been in love. But when he was riding a bus and saw my mother out the window, he was struck. Got off the bus, ran to catch up with her. He knew right away that he was in love, and they've been happily married, and they were happily married for 56 years. Thank you for telling us that story. Lonnie Barback, we hear these stories about sort of, I knew as soon as I saw that person, that's the person I was going to marry. They always seem kind of unbelievable to me, but they do happen.
They do happen. There's also all of those that you meet somebody, you think they're going to be the one, and then they aren't. But you forget about those. The ones you remember are the ones that have the story of we met. I mean, there was one parents of a couple that I saw in therapy, and they met literally and spent the entire night talking and got married the next day. And we're still together 50 years later. Now, that's not the common outcome for a relationship that gets committed so soon. Usually there are issues that come up and you have to work with them and figure out how to is this the right person or not?
As a relationship counselor, I mean, do you advise, you know, there's always that moment when you're smitten, you know, when you're early in a relationship and you're just head over heels. But is it sometimes wise? I mean, we're hearing great, wonderful stories about being smitten and then the smittenness, if that's a word, lasts for 50 years. But do you sometimes tell people like, you know, hang on, go slow, think about this, don't necessarily be overcome by that instant emotion?
Well, most of the time, couples reach whatever is going to be difficult in their relationship in 9 months to about a year and a half. And so that they can go through that period and work out the difficulties that come up for them, then they have a very good chance at making it. And the couples that do it sooner are either lucky or they're good at working these things out or they go into therapy and work them out. And then they too, most couples, by the way, in happy marriages have almost broken up at some point when you look at a long-term marriage. That relationships go through difficult periods. And that's a natural part of changing and evolving and our lives together.
How we first met. How did you meet your partner, your spouse, your lifelong love? That's our topic this morning on this Valentine Tuesday. We have a few minutes left in our program. We'd love to hear more stories. You can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. CJ joins us next in San Francisco. CJ.
Hi. So I met my wife playing softball through one of her coworkers or girlfriends. But one of my best friends had given me fake business cards for Christmas that said, I have emotions. Let's talk about them. I've been through a bad breakup. So he was handing out these business cards to friends and people at bars. And she called me, actually, a couple weeks after she'd gotten the cards. And to the point about the 9 months, within 9 months, she was moving to Europe, lived there for a year. Our relationship persisted through that, and now we're getting married next March, or this March in next month.
Oh, congratulations, CJ. That's
terrific. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for telling us. And it appears you do have emotions, right?
Yes, and I like to talk about them a lot.
Make a good mate.
It's a good day to be doing that, CJ. Thank you. Here's a story from Troy, who writes, I met my wife while swimming in Lake Folsom. My wife was swimming with her client counterclockwise along the buoy line, and I was working with my friend on their swim technique going in the clockwise direction. Her client and my friend ran into each other head-on while swimming. Luckily, they were going slow, so there were no injuries. They looked up and knew each other, so we all started to talk in the middle of the lake. And one thing leads to another, and now we've been married for 8 years with two beautiful girls. Carmen writes, I met my husband when I bought my first home in Oakland. The bathroom needed remodeling, and he was the contractor who did the work. I resisted dating him for several months, even after the project was done, because I didn't want to ruin the professional relationship. And then she says, parenthetically, it's so hard to find someone to trust to repair your home. But after 6 months, he won me over, and we started dating. Now we're happily married, and he gets to enjoy the house and the bathroom that he remodeled. That's a great competition. Yes. Between true love or fixing the bathroom. Right. Let me think about that. Let's go to Aref. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Aref in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm from Afghanistan, and I got married with Habiba, my wife, 10 years ago in Afghanistan, and it was an arranged marriage. And our fathers just, you know, got together, and they decided, obviously, for us. And then we were nervous. I was nervous at that time. Honestly, I had no idea how it's going to work. But luckily, we fall in love after when we got married, and we are so in love right now. We are living in San Francisco, and I love her, and she loves me, and it's a wonderful life.
How did you feel when you first saw her, when you saw her for the first time?
Yeah, well, I was nervous, and I had no idea, and I was thinking, gosh, you know, I hope it's going to be okay, and she's going to like me, and I'm going to like her, and what we're going to talk about it. And I was like thinking, nervous. And then when we got together and we had like a conversation and it became more interesting. And we talked. And then after a few meetings, I could say that, you know, she expressed that, you know, she was nervous also at the beginning. She had she knew me from the distance, and I was, you know, I knew her from the distance, but not very closely, because in terms of culture or, you know, social norms or whatever, we were living in a village. And then after a while, we became like a kind of friend. And then after a while, I fell in love deeply. And then It got more interesting, and now I'm so happy that we got married, and I appreciate it all the time, you know, every time that I talk to my parents, and I say thank you so much. You have done a great thing to us.
Yeah, Aref, thank you. Glad to see that it's worked out so very nicely. Thanks for calling and for sharing your story, and a reminder that meetings can happen in varied ways, including those from different cultures that involve that history and tradition of arranged marriages. And in Aref's case, of course, it seems like something that's working out very well indeed. Miniko joins us now from Santa Rosa. Miniko, go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling from Santa Rosa, and my fiance Kevin and I met at a coffee shop in Petaluma, and at the beginning we didn't ask each other out, but he kept on coming into the coffee shop, and eventually later we re-met at a different place, and we have been together for 5 years. And we are recently engaged and getting married in a few weeks. So happy to have him in my life.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks for I'm so glad you had that meeting, and thanks for calling and sharing your story with us, Miniko. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lizzie writes in, my husband sent a text message to his friend, but was off by one digit and got me instead. He had a new phone, but was too lazy to save the contact information. I just broken my phone and had a new one without contacts in it. So I thought I was talking to my friend. After about 15 minutes, we figured it out, but we kept talking anyway. 6 months later, we went out on our first date. Next month, it will have been 10 years since he first sent me that accidental text. And we've been married for 7 of those years. It's interesting, Lonnie Barbeck, we just touched briefly on how online dating and everything has changed so many things. And here's an example of how kind of misplaced technology played a role in how people get together. Do the fundamentals still matter, though, that even though we have these different platforms and different ways of contacting, that the basic human dimension of this remains unchanged?
Yeah, you can't find your mate online if you don't meet them. So there's lots of things written in a profile, but that doesn't really tell you about the person. And there may be, you know, as I mentioned before, someone that whose profile you wouldn't have responded to, that's the perfect person. And you think this person's great on paper, and then you meet them and it fizzles. So the thing about online dating is you've got to go out and meet people. You just can't have these online chats back and forth if you really want a relationship, because it won't develop to that until you meet.
And something we're also hearing this morning is that sometimes these sort of kind of amazing happenstance, a text that was sent with the wrong digit leads to something, a moment where you see someone, bump into someone literally while swimming, and that part of the beauty of these moments is that human connection that can only happen face-to-face, and to be brave enough and willing enough to embrace them when they occur. A couple of last comments and stories as we begin to wrap up our hour. Susan writes, Dave and I were college students at Cal Poly and met at a nonviolent occupation of Vandenberg Air Force Base in 1983. We've been married now for 31 years. Power to the people in love. Great. Nicole writes, I have to tell this story for my best friend because she isn't here anymore to tell it. She was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2009 and fell in love with her radiation oncologist. They were married in December 2010. She passed away in 2013, and they had the most beautiful love story I have ever witnessed. Thanks so much for sharing that story as well. I want to read one last one as we conclude this lovely half hour. Thanks all so much, listeners, for sharing your stories with us. Jesse writes, our paths first crossed in a film graduate seminar in San Francisco State. I was the first-year grad student. He was the precocious undergrad invited to enroll in the class. We shyly eyed each other from across the room. But unfortunately, due to the state budget crisis at the time, I ended up being dropped after that first class. But about 6 months later, he checked out a book from the library, and out fell a book request slip with a name on it that vaguely ran a bell. Several days later, I received a message on Facebook, and this April, we celebrate 7 years together. Later, we realized that we had both been okay, but due to some preference filters, we never connected. Part of another connection, which is why we're grateful for old-fashioned serendipity and arcane request systems for library books. And this is Forum on KQED. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.